Danny Ventura from the Boston Herald is joining us again this week. Dan, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We have a couple of games to talk about coming up this weekend, but there's a lot of stuff from last weekend. And I know I talked to Dave Woods, the football coach at Bishop Fenwick. They played Cardinal Spelman. Of course, then it was huge news the following day. I know you put the story out there that the Spelman coach, Con Chase, had resigned from his position immediately. And what can you share with me on that story? By the way, I just point out to our listeners that Dave Woods does talk about that in our interview that we posted up on the website. But what are you hearing on that story, Dave, Danny?
I think this was not a one-time thing. Apparently, it was a culmination of, you know, parental harassment, as he called it. And, you know, there were some people at Spelman who felt we were a little too harsh on the school. But, you know, I did contact some coaches. I'm friendly with a couple of parents who have kids who play in the league. And they all verified that, you know, the guy was just getting hammered on a weekly basis. And there's really no need. I mean, it's one thing. If you want to question the play calling, but from what sources were telling me, that they were pushing the envelope on what they were saying to this guy. And there are some people who felt like, hey, as a coach, you should have stuck it out. But, you know, when you have problems with, you know, when it's become to the point where you can't bring your family to the games because you don't want to subject them to hearing what they're saying about their father, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think fundamentally that's just wrong. You know what I'm saying, Dan? And, you know, probably shouldn't it all have been tolerated. I was at that game last Thursday night, and, you know, when the coaches came across to shake hands with one another, he was kind of walking right our way, and, you know, he had kind of an expressionless face, but obviously, clearly very troubled.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he really had to do it over again, I think he probably would have left after last year. Because what I did find out is, you know, it was going on last year as well. And I think he probably was hoping, you know what, you know, get past the first year, let's move on, let's move forward. But I think he came to the realization this is not going to get any better. And I do think administration, and I like the administrators at the school, but, you know, they've got to be called on the carpet a little bit. Because if this was going on, somebody should have stepped up and said, hey, you know, enough is enough here.
No, you know, you're right. I mean, when you think about it, Dan, you've been to so many big tournament MIAA games, and there's these MIAA statements out there, and justified and fair, about no tolerance for certain fan behavior, and that would be fan behavior that would be intolerable. You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. I mean, they tell you right off the bat. You know, it's in the documents. You know, schools preach it as well. I know at a lot of places they'll tell you before the game, you know, they'll make a big announcement, mm-hmm. you know, basically frowning on any sort of negative cheering of sorts.
Yeah. Well, they do it in the tournament games. Maybe they need to, I mean, of all the things, you know, you hate to think you have to do this, but maybe you have to make an announcement like that at the regular season games too. It's crazy. Yeah.
You know? You may be right. I mean, you know, it's not a good situation, and he was devastated. I mean, he's a guy who loves the coach, but, you know, they just took it right out of him.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be back, and because I understand he is a very good coach. So, you know, Dan, out of last weekend, other on the field, anything else trying to jump out at you for Eastern Mass football or Mass football?
Well, we pointed up to the Merrimack Valley, and I think you've got to give Andover a lot of credit. I mean, you beat Central Catholic, which is an emotional win. You know, Central is not the preferred flavor of schools in that league for obvious reasons. And to beat them and then bounce back and have to play a Methuen team who was undefeated a week later and play as well as they did, that says a lot for those kids. I mean, I was very, very impressed with it. I mean, to get two quality wins like that in 7 days, you know, they've got it going there. And then, you know, Bill Ricca steps up against Tewksbury, who you always seem to think in the Merrimack Valley small, Tewksbury's the team you have to go through, and Bill Ricca handled them pretty effectively.
All right, this weekend, game that's up here, well, not up here on the North Shore, but involves St. John's Prep from the North Shore down at Catholic Memorial on Saturday afternoon. That's a big heavyweight Catholic Conference matchup.
It sure is. You know, you've got arguably two of the best teams in Eastern Mass. They've, you know, St. John's Prep is the one school that actually, since John DiBiasso's taken over at CM, now he's the one guy who's beaten them more than once. He's beaten them three times, twice in Super Bowls. But, you know, the CM program has really taken off in the last few years. I mean, I don't think anyone questions that, whether it's not Springfield Central, Catholic Memorial has the most talented team in the state. But it'll be a challenge for St. John's Prep. But, you know, St. John's Prep's got some pretty good players themselves.
I can't say this for sure. I don't know this. I'm just thinking, Dan, that the St. John's has not played their best football game of the year yet. You know what I'm saying? I may be wrong on that, but, I mean, I played some good ones, but maybe right. They've got some great players, as you point out.
Yeah, I talked to Coach St. Pierre this morning. He likes the way that they're trending. He feels like they are trending in the right direction. They're getting some guys back. And sometimes, you know, coaches will never come out and say this, but, you know, in retrospect, maybe the Central Catholic loss was a good thing. You know, the players will get the attention of the coaches. You know, they refocus. And, you know, they haven't played the greatest competition, but, you know, they have been dominant the last 3 weeks. And, you know, they're going to Central, you know, the Catholic Memorial. I mean, the pressure's on Catholic Memorial is how I look at it. Because they are the team to beat. And, you know, if Prep goes in there, you know, with a, you know, loosey-goosey attitude, you know, they're certainly well-coached. You know, if they hang around for a little bit, you never know.
Yeah, it'll be definitely one to watch for sure this weekend on Saturday. Hey, any other games this weekend or a game or two that you could share with us that you're kind of keeping an eye on this weekend? I know I'll just throw one out to you, the Amesbury at North Reading game that I'll be at personally, yeah.
That's arguably the two best teams in the Cape Ann League. You know, we've talked about North Reading in the past. We both loved them as a team. This will be an interesting challenge for Amesbury. You know, certainly a step up, and, you know, I mean, I think North Reading might have a little too much, but, you know, it's certainly a great game, no question about it. One that's intriguing, you know, is Salem. They're playing Masto Thursday night, you know, after their best start in years. I know they've worked around with the schedule, so they're not playing the toughest schedule in the world, but you know what? They're winning games, and that's what a lot of these programs who struggled. You know, they've left the league for a year or two, a couple of years, you know, play like an independent schedule. And it might be what they need, you know, because there's nothing satisfies a kid more than winning. And once they start getting that taste of winning, they want more of it. And I think you're going to start to see, you know, the numbers will come back.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. It'll be a great barometer game for the Witches, no matter what way they fall in that, win or lose in that game against Masco. You're right. Good point. Yeah. And right now, they're talking about some weather on Thursday, too. So, yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Hey, I got to ask you one last thing maybe on the power rankings. Now, you look at the power rankings, the writers there for the Herald and the other papers you're involved with, the power ratings for all sports. So what's the early take on the power rankings in football and beyond football?
I think people do like it. I think they wish they could understand how they get to the numbers more. And I'm not a math major, so I don't. And I tell everyone that Jim Clark, who's now working for the MIA, so if you need any questions, he's the guy. I mean, he created the rankings. He knows the ins and outs of it. And it's just, I mean, I kind of like it because it does take away a lot of the objectivity of everything. I mean, my personal opinion, I think there are too many football teams who make the playoffs. I would love to see them go to eight instead of 16, but I can understand why, since they're going statewide.
No, I do agree with you on that. I'm hoping you're right that I know a lot of people that do like the more teams in the playoffs, but I think it's I do think if we begin to trust these ratings, these rankings, then I think you could shrink it down a bit, as you're pointing out. But I guess what I'm saying is the question would be is that are those rankings matching your gut feeling on what you're seeing from teams? I mean, it is. I don't think you get a statistical at this point in the year. You don't get the real. You kind of have to wait till the team's full schedule is in and then look at the power rankings. I get that, but I just didn't know what your thoughts were on the, you know, the numbers, if you will, assigned to the teams at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem comical when you look at Division II in football. and a team that everyone says is either the best team in the state or maybe the second best team in the state, and I believe ninth, and that's Catholic Memorial. That one kind of jumps out. It's like, you know, what are these guys looking at?
Yeah. Well, that's my point. I think it depends on who you've played so far. So, in other words,
right.
But, you know, they're not going to get – I mean, if the season were to end today, Dan, they'd be left out of the playoffs with the 8-team Dan Ventura plan, right?
This is true.
That's why you got to play all the games. But, well, it's an interesting twist, I guess. All right.
Right. I mean, I think now you'll see with Catholic Memorial, you know, I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, they are right now. If the season ended, they'd be on the road.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But it's the season's not over. Of course, they're in a their league. They'll pile up some points pretty soon. I think, right?
Yeah. Well, between the prep and Severian, if they are successful, you know, I think that they'll certainly go fly. They'll be way up there after that. I mean, you look at Division One, Severian is number 3. St. John's Prep is number 7. So I mean, they're going to certainly pick up a lot of points there.
Yeah, we got to wait to the end of the year for sure. But then it should be a decent barometer if in fact if all the coefficients are correct, Dan. But you can check those coefficients out for us, in the next few weeks. But whatever.
Right.
Dan, always good talking with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. You take care.
You too.
Dan Ventura from the high school sports regional sports editor for the Boston Herald with us here on MSONewsSports.com.